The Cubs have been hot in this offseason market. They're picking up big names. They're letting go of big names as well. But what's the next move? Well, I have someone joining me today. Let's get into it.
Tucker to the Cubs for Isak Freed.
Matthew Boyd, who lands a two-year, $29 million deal with the Cubs.
Scott Crawford.
Welcome back to the Touching Bases podcast. You see your beautiful smiling faces. It's baseball chaos, and I have myself a Cubs fan, a Cubs follower. Sam, thank you for joining me on this. We're gonna be talking quite a bit about the Cubs, and they've been linked a lot during this offseason, especially lately, as far as trade rumors. And of course, Cubs have been making a lot of moves, which makes a lot of people confused on what's going on. You being over there with Locked On Cubs, an awesome platform, really good community, as I've kind of stepped in a little bit here and there just to check you guys out, putting out great content, a huge fan base that really likes you guys. And if you guys have not checked out Locked On Cubs, please go check them out after this. Their links will be down in the description. Sam, thank you for joining me.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't even know where to begin. I have so many things I would love to talk about, but sure. I'm also like, obviously everybody's happy about the Cup thing. That's huge. And as a Mariners fan, I'm even more happy because he's no longer with the Astros, which, you know, makes me excited going into 2025 because the door is a little bit more open for my struggling team. And I think that door closes a little bit for the NL Central because the Cubs are getting, that's a huge upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah. I think right now in Cubs lands, the reason why when we came on, just for people that don't know, when we came on, I was on my phone, which is rude. They just announced like they're bringing back Sammy Sosa, which is like really big news in Cubs land. So it literally just happened like 2 minutes ago, like as I came on. So he publicly apologized and Tom Ricketts responded. And so that's like a big story. But anyways, I digress. I think the Tucker news, you know, was really important for the Cubs. And it's a lot more from a passion standpoint, from an excitement standpoint. For the first time and since maybe, you know, peak Chris Bryant years, the Cubs have somebody that they could bring on, you know, that fans are excited about, that could be an MVP candidate. So I think that was really big. And I think trading Bellinger got a lot of mixed reactions, but in Cubs world, everybody expected that. Now the question from now until I believe March 18th, when the Cubs open in Japan, is just what are they going to do with this extra money that they got back in the Bellinger deal in that situation? And how can they take this Kyle Tucker thing and turn it into, hey, this team now is the true clear favorite in the National League Central. I still don't believe that they're clear favorites over the Milwaukee Brewers, just out of the respect that I have for that team and what they've been able to accomplish and overachieve over the last 5, 6, 7 years. So step one is, hey, we're going into this year and we are the clear favorites. And you know what? Hey, we made a couple additions. Maybe we could give a team like the Dodgers or the Braves or the Mets a run for their money in a 5-game series. So that they got to figure out how to do that.
So, and I understand where you're coming from as far as being like, you know, respecting another opponent that was able to put up the record they did last year. But with the Brewers losing as much as they did, I don't think I see the Cubs having that big of an issue keeping up with them because they lost Evan Williams, of course. They also, I mean, last year lost Corbin Burns. That was a hit, but they still proved themselves to do well. Yelich was out with a back injury. I don't think he's going to be back next year, right? Because he's still dealing with that. And then now Willie Adames, their best hitter, is gone. And they haven't added. And plus, Frankie Montas is gone. I mean, are they still? I mean, obviously they have Churio and they have all those guys, and they're a good team, but they have subtracted quite a bit,
right?
Do you think that they're still a concern for the Cubs moving forward, especially with this increase? Okay. Pitching or is it the offense?
No, I just what you're saying right now is exactly what I said about the Brewers last year.
Okay.
I said, hey, they got no Corbin Burns. Hey, Devin Williams is going to be out for at least half the season. Brandon Woodruff is hurt. Mm-hmm. Craig Counsell's gone. Stearns is gone. And yet they still won 90 whatever games and won the division by, 10 plus. So I just can't count them out of respect. Okay. For the Cubs right now, their concern in terms of the Brewers is it sounds very old school to say, but I just don't know if they know how to win as well as the Brewers do. Like, the Brewers just know how to win games, man. Like, you look at their clutch stats, their close game stats. They're just, if it's 2-2 up in Milwaukee in the seventh, eighth inning and the Cubs are there, I'm ready to talk about a loss. It's just, it's how it's been. So, I respect those guys. And, you know, I think the Cubs still got a ways to go to be clear favorites ahead of them.
Yeah. And I mean, speaking of which, I mean, I guess we can say, you know, Bellinger's gone, which I'm getting really tired of seeing people on X mention that, because I don't believe this. You might agree with them, but saying that, oh, it's just a pure salary dump.
Right.
But to me, a salary dump is what the Mariners did last season, which was Eugenio Suarez gone, Jared Kelenic gone, Teoscar gone, like with nothing really in return. And then the key part of that is there was no follow-up. They didn't go out and sign some big guy. They didn't go out and make a big trade using those funds. That's a salary dump to me. I don't think the Cubs are done. To say this is a salary dump would mean they're not planning to spend or make a big move.
Right.
And
exactly. You're exactly right.
So
it's like it's a salary dump if they don't do anything with the remaining money. So if the Cubs for the rest of the season don't make any large acquisitions or even medium level acquisitions, then I'll come out and say, all right, that Bellinger thing was a salary dump. What they did is say, hey, we have Michael Busch at first base making $800,000. We have Ian Happ, who has a full no trade clause in left field, so he's not going anywhere. We have PCA under team control, young prospect who we really like, who's outstanding in center. We just traded for a real superstar level player, Kyle Tucker, and our DH is a better hitter than Cody Bellinger. So what they said is, hey, we're going to take those $27 million, $25 million now because they ate cup 2.5, and we're going to use that for bigger needs, like the bullpen, like starting pitching, maybe a utility sort of infielder versus just having Bellinger there to be like a, you know, an extra guy. I mean, it just, I don't know why that got such criticism.
It beats me because, I mean, his contract is so player friendly. Like, he doesn't have to perform and he's getting paid. So that's kind of like that. You know, and I mean, what, he had a double WRC plus, we'll go 109 last season.
Yeah.
Okay. It's okay. It's not worth his cost. Right. That's not a $20 million player per year, you know, more than that. Right. I'm trying to think the Cubs are paying like $2.5 million for the next 2 years, which is
just 2.5 per year. So nothing. Yeah. I mean,
nothing.
So tell me really quick, who's your team again?
Mariners.
You're a Mariner fan. Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Mariner fan. And then of course, like, I have my sidebar with the Diamondbacks and Padres.
Do you have any interest in Nico Horner?
So I figured we would get into that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of Mariner podcasts out there, and if they watch this, they might not like my opinion. So I'm going to say this is my opinion based on what I've seen, and they probably will disagree. There's a lot of discourse when it comes to Mariner fans talking about who are we willing to give up. And I would say a lot, like a lot of East Coast teams, they're pearl clutching the players that mean a lot to them. There's a lot of that in my heart, love this player versus realism versus what's a better idea to go with, like for the team in general versus like, oh, I'll miss him, you know, right. like losing yeah. Ty France was like,
I get it. I get it, man.
It's yeah. Same, it was like, same thing oh, that sucks. He's such a nice guy, yeah. but he wasn't producing. He wasn't yeah. 2023 All-Star. So there's logic and then there's emotions. I love Nico Horner. I would love to see him in Seattle.
Yeah. What, so let's put a trade together. So
I already did.
Okay. Do it. Tell me.
But you're not going to like it.
Okay.
So
if you watch our show, I tend to not like most things. So
Yeah.
That's kind of the draw. That's kind of the draw.
That's the beauty of it.
Locked On Cubs, where you could listen to Sam complain.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing though. I mean, and that's the thing. I think Locked On Mariners is very similar. So there's that very straight to the point. Like, no, that doesn't work. No, that was a terrible trade. These are stupid. And that, I enjoy that because it's honest. So my proposal is not something Mariner fans are going to be wanting either. In fact, you guys did your holiday thing on yesterday.
Yes.
Okay. One of your fans called in, and it's funny. The first thing they said was, you know who I'd really love to see and get from the Mariners? George Kirby.
Yeah,
and then you lit up like a Christmas light.
I love George Kirby, man.
I know. And the first thought that came to my mind was, you're high. Yeah, no way. No way in hell would we give up George Kirby for anyone. Mm-hmm. And I let that simmer a little bit. Mm-hmm. And... No, I think that's a stupid thing to say, because there's always a deal that can be made. And mm-hmm. the question is, what is the other team willing to give up? And for the Cubs, it's probably too much, but I don't think this is unreasonable.
Tell me.
George Kirby would go to the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
For Nico Horner.
Remind me before you tell me the deal, how much control left does Kirby have?
It's all 2029.
Okay.
Oh, well, he's a free agent in 2029. He goes ARB 4 in 2028. He'll be 30.
Okay. Perfect.
Right now he has a payroll of 4.5 mil.
Yep.
Estimated, because it hasn't been confirmed yet. Nico Horner is the number one.
Yeah.
Obviously we need a second baseman. I don't know how it would work out in Seattle, how his bat would translate, because so far nobody's bat translates in Seattle.
Fine though, because he's not a power guy.
Yeah. And I'm okay with the slap hitting kind of design, because guess what? That's worked for every single hitter that's been a slap hitter.
Yeah.
Ichiro. I mean,
right.
Jose Lopez way back. I mean, that's 01, 04. Like, he was fine. He made it to the All-Star game because of his hitting. So Nico Horner. This is where Cubs fans are like, nah, never mind. Michael Busch.
Okay.
We need a first baseman. Mm-hmm. He's 27. He's affordable. He's pre-ARB. ARB 1's not until 2027. That's fair. And then last would be Porter Hodge.
Mm-hmm.
I would do George Kirby for those three.
You know, I don't hate it. When people spitball these deals, I always look at the idea over the actual thing. So like the Cubs aren't going to trade Porter Hodge, but that type of guy, like, so you want to know what I would do in the deal? I'll do my counter.
Yeah.
So I don't hate Nico Horner and Busch. The only reason, and this stinks that I have to say this and I get so fatigued about saying this, is that the Cubs are just in this weird financial spot, or at least they're pretending they're in this weird financial spot. And so I just don't think they would give up this controllable, cheap guy like Michael Busch is for his production. But if you told me, forget Porter Hodge, if you told me we could do Nico Horner and Busch for George Kirby, now – it seems a little bit counterproductive now that the Cubs traded Bellinger, because it would be kind of nice. It would be nicer if we still had Bellinger to replace him at first. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say no to that. My trade for Kirby would be this, and it's probably not enough. Nico Horner and our top pitching prospect, Cade Horton, who is not at all far away from the big leagues. And in fact, it could happen this year. And then maybe like an ancillary guy, like a closer to offensive player, like a James Triantos or something like that, who you might not be familiar with because you're not like, you don't follow the Cubs minor league system.
I'm looking up Cade Horton right now.
So Cade is probably right now our number three overall prospect behind Shaw and Casey. Yeah. And then Triantos is like a top seven-ish prospect. That's like, he's basically Nico Horner. So he probably wouldn't get moved in that deal then, because if they moved Nico, they wouldn't move his backup sort of situation. But I don't know, somewhere around then. But I would love that, man. And that's what's the beauty with the Cubs is that they have guys that they could trade. But with Bellinger being gone, because it's so funny you mention that, because before Bellinger got moved, I always thought if finances weren't a thing, why not just – I think I said it on the show – why not just send Horner and Bush to Seattle? That has to get you something back. Then they have their starting first baseman, starting second baseman, and they got 9 billion ridiculously good starters. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, man,
you're not wrong. I mean, here's the only issue. The issue with that is that Cade Horton, I'd take him over. I mean, I'd be okay with swapping him and Porter Hodge, because you're not letting go to Porter Hodge, right?
Horton's a far better trade asset than Porter Hodge because he's a starter.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that would be more beneficial for us. The problem with Triantos is the fact that I know he's second base outfield. We don't need anybody in the outfield, and his debut date is relatively similar and close to Cole Young.
Yeah.
Who is already on his way
up. Right, right. That's fair.
So adding someone like that, it is insane how many middle infield prospects we have coming up in the next 6 years. Like there's like eight of them.
That's fair.
And
that's fair.
There's no room to put any of them, but we don't have anything like proven excellent 2025 and 2026, like proven. That is where Nico Horner would come in, and 2025, 2026 is pretty much his contract. So that's why that would be perfect.
Nico Horton and blank for George Kirby.
It would have to be Bush. Yeah, we need a first baseman.
Yeah, and we can't do that.
Well, and that's the thing though. It's like
I wouldn't despise it, but I know my Cub listeners are gonna be like, Sam, what are you talking about? Because I love George Kirby. I just think he's a stud.
Yeah, but
last year
was his worst year, and he threw a 3.64.
But now if we trade Bush, we literally don't have another first baseman.
But look how much money you have.
Yeah, right. Could they go get Alonso and or somebody
look,
like that?
Look how many
yeah,
first Walker. Basemen there are. Right. Yeah, you could get Walker because you have money now.
I just don't trust them to spend it.
No, and that's the thing. It's like this: we're putting ourselves in a position as if we were the ones in charge of the money,
right?
And what I don't believe about the Cubs not having money is I know how many fans you guys have. I know how packed Wrigley Field gets. I know even through the terrible seasons you guys have had the last couple of years, there's still everybody so dedicated. Right. And now with all this news, like how much money do you think you're not going to make going into this next season? There's a lot of hype. The Cubs are the focal point. Nobody's thinking about the Mets right now. It's been this whole week has been Cubs.
Yep.
Like nobody was like Soto. That's cool. Look what they're doing. Look at how much money they just made back getting rid of a non-team friendly contract, plus adding an insanely good right fielder that I don't know. I think Tucker kind of shits on Bellinger as far as defensively. Absolutely. Right. Offensively, I still think so, especially compared to last year.
Agree.
But, and you mentioned like there's this balance aspect. I think everybody just wants to win a trade. You know what I mean? There's always like this, oh, who won the trade? Oh, how do we win this trade? It's like if we were to go 100% fair, it's like impossible, because if we're talking Luis Castillo, which has been the talk. And now I think that's more alive than ever, but I'll get into that in a second. But you talk about you wanted that you'd say George Kirby for Nico Horner and Michael Bush. That's it, right? Mariners. It's not even like I want to win this trade. It's that's just not enough because he is our number. He's our number two. Whether you want to say Gilbert is better last year or Castillo is still our ace, he's no matter what our number two in one of the best rotations in baseball.
I agree.
But if you were to say Castillo, who is our ace, whether you say he's our number one or number three, that's where the Mariners are like, okay, I can see that. But the biggest stipulation from Cubs view, and this is me putting words in your guys' mouth, is his contract. Like, oh, he costs too much. Like that makes him, if you go to baseball trade values, not worth as much. He has no surplus. And it's like, you have him for like three more years and you are getting a starting pitcher that you need when you don't really need to worry about your second base because you have top prospects coming up. Right. And that means you only have to get one more thing, and that's a first baseman. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I guess the argument could be, oh, well, we're just trading the position of need where we need a starting rotation guy. We need a rotation arm. And all we're doing is making it a problem for first base. But right. Hey, first base.
A lot easier.
Is a lot easier to get than a starting pitcher, especially right now.
For sure.
So for sure. That's where that balance becomes an issue is like, obviously the Mariners being as cheap as they are, they want to move Castillo if they're going to have to move a pitcher. Yep. But if you want one of our younger guys where we have a ton of control over and he's in his prime and he can probably do even better next year, it's got to be more than just those two because we're giving up probably one of the top three players in an entire organization. You're up there. You have Julio, Kirby, and Cal, and then you have Logan. That's probably the order. Mix it around however you want. And the guys that we're getting back, they're not your top favorite guys that you put on a pedestal. So
I think from the Mariners side of things, and this is totally from an outsider perspective, so it's a lazy take, but it just feels like, cause I have a friend of mine who's a big Julio Rodriguez fan. And I just am like, hey man, like if the Mariner, and he literally is like, it's like, hey, like, I think we were talking about Kyle Tucker, and I was saying how like, hey, Kyle, like I feel much better about Kyle Tucker this season as an offensive player than Julio. And he's like, that's crazy, whatever. And I'm just like, look, Julio Rodriguez is a superstar talent that drastically underperformed on a team that didn't do anything last year because their offense was bad. Mm-hmm. So like for me, if I were a Mariners fan or if I were doing a Mariners show, assuming that we all are aware that there's major budget constraints, it's like, we just need our star to star. Like if he's really good, like I don't have his numbers in front of me. I think he finished like a 730 OPS or something like that. And he probably picked it up late. Like he needs to be 130.
Beginning and very end.
Yeah. He needs to be 130 points better than that for anybody nationally to take the Mariners seriously. Like that team is built. That team is literally built around an incredible starting pitching staff and then a star offensive player. And so they need that star offensive player to star for things to make sense. I know that's like, sounds like overly simplified, but that's kind of what it feels like to me.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a star player. Like there's a reason why they extended him. He is not a one-off. He's proven to be really good. And for sure. We know his ceiling is probably still not yet obtained, given how young he is.
Right. He's like 23.
But I don't think we also know his floor yet.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully it was last year.
Hopefully, but I don't know. Because, you know, he works with this is my opinion, and this is probably a take like what you said. I don't think your take was very, very off. I think it was fair completely. He's gone up through the bigs he's gone up to the bigs, made a name for himself, won Rookie of the Year. And he did that with a single batting coach that he always worked with for a long time. And somewhere in there, I think there's been confliction of the coaching of how to swing, making adjustments, fixing it. And I think he just hasn't been able to master that because, of course, first year was great. Second year, it was still good. It wasn't as good. Mm-hmm. And then this last year, they realize, oh, we just need to throw a fastball in and he can't catch up to it.
Right.
And now we roll into the next season of, okay, how do we fix that? Is Edgar Martinez going to be able to help him with that, to maybe just get him set a little bit earlier so he can handle
stuff? I love
me
some Edgar Martinez.
Edgar's the man. I don't know if he's got the dexterity as he used to, but like, he knows his stuff. He's definitely going to be able to help. But how much is that going to conflict with the guy that raised his batting approach?
Right.
I don't know. And I'm hoping that he does come out to be that star. I'm hoping he's going to be as good as Kyle Tucker next year because we need that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we went out and got Randy Arozarena, which is huge. So it's like to say that the Mariners do nothing, that's not correct at all. But they do things too late almost every time.
Been there.
Yes. And that's where the Cubs are doing things different. They're not too late. They're doing things at the right time. Well, so far, this has been really, really good. I mean, people aren't talking about Matthew Boyd, and I think they should.
I don't disagree. I do have to tell you, though, man, I'm so sorry. This Cubs news.
No, go for it. Yeah.
I'll have to take off here in like a minute or two, but I could come back on. We could pause it. I could do something. I got the word that we got to go talk about this. Like,
let's just pause it here and we'll come right back in. All right. We're back. Nice little quick cut. So we were talking about Julio, but I do want to focus on the Cubs because that's why you're here. That's what makes this special.
Lock it in.
Yeah. So the, I mean, while you're gone, I was seeing in the post, I was looking at the Sammy Sosa thing and everything. So that's good. Also, I was seeing a lot of people on X, mentioning like, oh, we don't need an apology. Like, we loved you for what you did in Chicago, which I completely agree with.
I think Sosa jersey in your background.
Yeah, it's signed.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Ironic, right? And then to the left, the red bat right there is McGuire.
Oh, that's super sick.
And then I got, you can't see it, but it's right behind that everything's opposite. Their picture right there is Sosa McGuire hugging each other. So
very cool.
I mean that I grew up with that. Like that was, you know,
me too.
It was 98, you know, that's the, you know, the, was it 98?
98. Yep.
Yeah. Like that's when baseball really was a thing for me. Like I was a kid. That was a big thing. So
me too.
You know, that always plays a big role. So yeah, it's ironic that it's there. The fact that he made that statement, I mean, kind of out of the blue, right? Or am I just
It wasn't out of the blue. I could talk about it if you want.
Yeah, please.
Okay. So he did a meet and greet end of September in the Chicago Burbs area through this like cool Cubs charity foundation called Club 400.
Okay.
We went, Matt and I went,
okay.
We met him, talked to him. He did like a Q&A, and there must've been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that were there. And he spent time with every single person. And so it was, you got the feeling when you left that night, this was literally like the last day or second to last day of September, he's making an effort towards coming back. And so we heard this morning that this could be something that happens today. And so the way Ricketts responded so quick, I think it wasn't random. That regard, maybe the timing was, but I don't even think the timing's random because I think they're trying to bring him back to CubsCon, which is, you know, mid-January Cubs convention.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think this was probably honestly designed.
This is just kind of like a, handshake of like, all right, we're good.
Yeah, we're good. And you know, please come to Cubs Con, and because now we're going to sell out the whole place.
Yeah. Is it weird? This is a totally off the wall question, but is it weird seeing him look the way he does now?
He doesn't look. So he's back to looking very much like he did. Like when
it's like his color came back.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not.
Oh, really?
Like, when we saw him in late September, he looked pretty normal, like pretty
much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I thought that was permanent.
No. I don't like, you know, I don't know the details of it, but like when I saw him, he, you know, maybe a tad, but it just looked like Sammy Sosa to me.
Yeah. Okay.
And he looked good. Cool. He looked like strong and in shape.
Oh. He's back on the goods.
No.
I'm kidding. And that's another thing too. It's funny. Is
no,
like
he's not
in his statement saying like I did nothing illegal, and all this stuff. And it's like he's right. There's nothing illegal that he did. Like just you know frowned upon maybe if the subject line.
It was just you know I thought Jared. Carabas, I think is his name.
I saw his. That was another one. Like I thought his
tweet summarized kind of how I feel, my opinion on it. And that he said, I don't accept Sammy Sosa's apology for taking steroids because I don't need an apology. Thank you for putting on the show of a lifetime in 1998 and saving baseball. I think that's how I feel about the Sosa thing. Like I remember now 98 was a little bit before my time. I remember it. You know, I was four that summer. but I still remember it. And I, you know, it's funny. I was just telling Matt on our show, you know, I had season tickets from 97, 98 to like 08, with my family. And so, you know, I've seen more Sammy Sosa home runs than any other player I've ever seen by a ton, you know? So
that's awesome.
Special.
I mean, since you're able to be there for that, that's pretty incredible. Like that's a,
my biggest Sosa memory was because I remember it because I was old enough. I was 10 or 9 in the 03 playoffs when they were playing the Marlins. Game one, he hits a game-tying homer off Ugath Urbina to send it to extras. I wasn't there, and they lost in extras, but I was at game two, and he hit a home run. Look it up on YouTube when you're done with this today. I promise it's worth your time. Just look up Sosa home runs in 2003. It's a YouTube video where it shows game one and game two. The game two home run landed in like this camera well in center field that I've never seen anyone come close to hitting since. And like I just remember being at the game and the whole place before it erupted was like, what in the world? Like it, and the sound, it was, you could be, I could be 9 years old. Now remember that.
That majestic crack.
Yeah. Just like, what did we just see?
That's a huge win. Like it's just been nothing but positive for the Cubs. Like
even, finally,
like 30 seconds ago. I mean, I guess pendulum swing, right? But like, hopefully this doesn't go back too fast, but the fact that we're like in the middle of recording and, you know, you get that kind of news. That's
awesome. Felt so bad right when
we
hopped on. I started getting the text. I'm like, oh gosh, we're gonna have to go on soon here. And so I had to whatever. Anyway,
no,
but yeah, it's big news. And some people, like, you know, I'm trying to think. I don't know if Seattle has the equivalent of that because A-Rod played so many different places. But like, and Griffey obviously. But like, it's just it's just those guys just mean a lot. You know,
I think it's more like I think majority of the fan base, I want to say 60% of the fan base, a lot of people, the fan base in Seattle is very stretched out.
Yeah.
You know, there's the old time guys, there's the ones that showed up in the 2010s. And then there's like the newer ones. And then there's the 90s kids that were like into the team. And they're like, when it comes to A-Rod, it's like, if you weren't there for when you saw him leave, then, you know, there's bitterness because you would hope that there's some loyalty to the team that drafted you, brought you up and made you, I want to say made you who you are, but played a factor in, and then you leave for the money, obviously. But then there's also like the, wouldn't you take the money? Like, you know, there's those people that are like, no, I mean, I want to be here. And then there's the other people who are like, I want to get paid. So it's a lot like the Yankees fans with Soto right now. you know, they're like, ah, you piece of shit took the money. It's like, well, wouldn't you? And it really came down to a bunch of other stupid stuff, but like suites and family treatment and security or whatever. But like, but yeah, like Griffey obviously was a big one coming back. Like that was really huge. I would say that's like close to a Sosa kind of vibe, that or Ichiro. I think Ichiro the most, because Ichiro didn't fall asleep in the dugout during the middle of a game.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I think so this is huge for the Cubs. And I do, I mean, I'm happy for you guys, because he's, of any Cub that's out there, maybe Greg Maddux, but like, he's got to be one of the most memorable.
Yeah, him. I mean, in terms of living, I think it's him, Sandberg, you know, Billy Williams, Fergie Jenkins, and honestly, all the guys that won in 16, like those guys, will always have, no matter what, like, doesn't matter. Anthony Rizzo could hit 170 next year. Javier Baez basically did hit 170 last year. Like, when they come back here, they're rightfully going to be treated like royalty, because with all due respect to the greats like Ernie Banks, Billy Williams, Ron Santo, Fergie Jenkins, Sammy Sosa, Sandberg, those guys got it done. They won it. And even
would they ever bring back Javi Baez though?
Well, they gave him a huge standing O last year.
He
came back with Detroit. So yeah, I think all those guys, I think they're going to get some sort of statue where it's just all of them like celebrating at on the mound. And you know, because I don't think that team, you can't really pick one guy. If you pick one guy, you'd probably pick Theo, you know, for building it. So it's like, you can't really pick one guy. Like, sure, Bryant was the best player, but how can you have Bryant, not Rizzo? How can you have Bryant and Rizzo, not Zobrist, who got the big hit? And then, so I think it'll be some sort of like team, like those guys are rightfully remembered just as like a team versus, you know, where Sosa was just kind of
individual.
So
yeah, well, before we get off, because I know you got some stuff to do, I mean, I got some news as well. I mean, not really big news, but it's kind of, it was finally dropped. So first thing that has to do with the Cubs, Lizardo off the boards. You guys talked about that yesterday as well.
Yes, yeah,
officially. So, which is kind of keys more into like more now than ever. And I think I mentioned this a little bit earlier. I said I'd circle back. Mariners are probably in the talk as far as finding a starting pitcher, because something didn't work out with the Marlins. The talks with Boston for the Mariners has just been this dead zone ending, and always seems to involve Casas, but it's like not very, I personally don't want Casas. He can't hit in Seattle. So, and he's injury prone.
I'm sorry, let me cut you off just for 2 seconds. Yeah, what is it with Seattle? Cause like, it is like the worst part. Like, is there wind? Is it just the dimensions? Why is it? Cause every time I look, cause last year, the two worst places to hit were Wrigley and Seattle.
So the batter's eye is not too nice because it's slanted and it just kind of goes to like this. It hits this point that's a little bit off center. So if this was like the mound, the batter's eye is like over here. You're seeing, it doesn't look lined up. So the batter's eye is messed up. Plus it's old. So it's sun bleached. So it has like a wave of black, but not as black, you know, and you can see the squares. So you have a bunch of lines behind you. On top of that, you're right on the waterfront. And so you have that marine air coming in, very humid air, in left field, which is blowing in from North Seattle down south. So, also the dimensions, that's just a big field. Like the closest wall is in right field, and that's 333. So everything else is farther away. It's just pretty, there's no like, it's not like Minute Maid or Daikin, whatever they call it now, where you have Crawford section. It's like really close.
It's all the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
I don't know the science behind it as far as like wind tunneling. I mean, that's more of a conversation, I think, for the Guardians, you know, moving all those shipping containers or whatever the hell they did. But I mean, that also kind of leads into what I was going to say, what it just came out from MLB trade rumors that the Mariners are now talking to the Guardians about Josh Naylor.
I saw that. So
that could then cause issues for the Cubs, or maybe get the Cubs moving on making a deal.
Yeah, or the Cubs just end up just signing a free agent starter.
And they could now because they have the money. Could.
Yeah. Like, I just don't know who. I don't. It's going to be like, what, Walker Buehler or Flaherty or somebody like that? Because they're not going to get Burns, right?
I don't think it's. I don't think there's a point. Like, why?
Well,
why
and they get just. Him? Well, they got like $40 million to spend, and he would probably cost like 30, 35 for the
but
year.
But you're not like. Do you really need? Do you really need him when you could get two starters for cheaper, and that's still a pretty stacked.
Yeah, or like Tanner Scott or
rotation. You know?
Tanner Scott or somebody like that. I'm not a big let's spend $20 million a year on a bullpen guy, but in this case, with how bad it's been for the Cubs the last couple years, I would aggressively support it. I mean,
Ben Brown and Porter were great last year.
Yeah, Brown just got hurt. No, I mean you throw Brown and Hodge, and you put Tanner Scott as the lefty back there, plus add one more starter and then just get a utility bat. That's enough. That's a 90-win team for me.
Oh, you guys mentioned this, and I know we want to hurry up here. You mentioned yesterday on as far as getting a utility guy.
Yeah, we need.
What
we,
about
we need one?
Well, yeah. What about like Amad Rosario?
Yeah, is he a free agent?
Yeah,
yeah. Rosario. You know who I was looking at yesterday? But I think he's going to cost too much for what he is. Is and forgive me if I say his first name wrong on the Padres. Ha-Sung Kim.
Ha-Sung Kim, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, okay, not cost too. Yeah, he might cost too much. I mean,
because here's
I don't think he's your utility guy. I would say you would want him as a starter somewhere.
Yeah, okay, so then we would have it. Because what I want is a guy that could play third just in case. Let's say the Cubs, we're assuming the Cubs keep Horner in this situation. Because if they trade Horner, then they don't need a utility guy. They need a third baseman because Shaw would move over and play second.
Yeah.
But the reason I say utility guy is that we have Matt Shaw at third base, who's going to be a rookie, and that's not his primary position. He's more of a second baseman. And then we have Michael Bush playing first, who Council doesn't love against lefties. He likes to sit him a lot versus lefties. So who is going to play first base primarily against lefties? And okay, maybe let's say Council wants to give Bush a chance. You still need another guy. Yeah. And then who's going to play third just in case there's an issue with Matt Shaw. So I like a guy that could kind of just a right-handed hitter that handles lefties that could basically play all around the diamond. And that sounds like a lot, but there's plenty of those guys floating around.
Yeah. I wouldn't say a reason why you couldn't get both. Amad Rosario signed for like $2 million last year.
Yeah.
And he was traded. Yeah. He was one of the two players
Does he play third? He could play third too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's second shortstop, third and outfield. I don't think he's ever played first, but the guy could probably pull it off. But I mean, he went from the Rays to the Dodgers to the Reds, and he did really good on all teams. I would say that's a nice cheap option for a utility guy, but for an actual starter, Ha-Sung Kim would be great. I think for the Cubs, because consider he can hit, and he's only hit really well in the second hardest stadium to hit.
No, I like him a lot. I'm a fan. I like watching him play.
Yeah.
He's good defensively. The Gold problem glove. With him, yeah, the problem is he's just he can play short. We have short covered, so he would be. That's why I say utility. He's an overqualified utility guy, but he would play some third and whatever.
Or Swanson goes to third.
No, they would never
because they're paying him too much.
Yeah, and he's too good there.
All right. Yeah, I mean, at this point, you're paying for his glove because
They would never do it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's always an idea.
And his arm, what makes him great at short is his instincts. Like he doesn't have a great arm, so I don't even he'll play short. That's locked in.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. And that's a concern about Horner is his arm. I don't know. Right.
Yeah, something happened.
Really play anywhere.
Something happened. His arm used to be not a concern. He used to play great short, but for whatever reason, this year. When he would turn double plays, it was so many floaters.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Might have been hurt.
Yeah. I know. That's, God.
I mean, he is hurt. We know that. So
that would be, And that might be the biggest thing stalling a trade for him. I mean, if you're going after, I mean, what would the Cubs offer? What would the Cubs offer the Padres for Cease?
Yeah. There were some rumors about that before Tucker, but now they won't get another rental. But it would be a lot like the Tucker deal.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. You can't that deal once for one guy is great. You can't do that for two rentals. Because at the end of the day, if you're going to do that, that means it's like, oh, we're World Series or bust. And even if we add Dylan Cease, we're still not on paper touching the Dodgers. So,
yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is, I mean, for the NL Central, you guys are good. In my opinion, I think you guys will be so, fine. Yeah. You're going to make another move. There's no, if you don't make another move after Bellinger, then I will talk some shit. But as far as making a move, it's going to happen. And whatever that move is, it's going to make the team better. And if the team's any better than what it is now, then I have the Cubs as winning the division. But when you talk World Series or just even, you know, NLCS, it's the Dodgers and or NLDS. If you guys win against the Giants, like that's starting to look kind of rough. Kind of hard to beat,
or the Mets or the Braves or whoever else.
Yeah, this is true. We'll see about the Braves. They can stay healthy.
I think the Braves will be good this year. I think people don't realize how banged up they were. I mean, if they can get everybody back,
like, that's what I'm saying. If they stay healthy,
yeah.
Or and Matt Olson can figure out his bat, and Riley can wake up again. I don't know. Those two were quiet last year. Yeah. So yeah. Well, hey, dude. Thank you for coming on talking. Yeah.
No problem.
Anytime you want to come talk some ball or anything happens, if there's a big trade, I would love to have you on. As far as
I appreciate it,
reviewing it. As far as the Cubs go, they're a hot team right now. Yeah. So, everybody, please go down in the description, go check out Locked On Cubs. You can also find their Twitter page down there. I'll put it down there. Nice clickable links. Leave a like, comment down below your guys' thoughts. If you're a Cubs fan, what's Sam's take on this? Is he right? Is he wrong? I don't know. Mariners fans, you're going to tear me a new one because of the things I said about giving up Kirby. But other than that, Sam, appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me on.
See you guys.